Hello, Urban Faith. I'm so glad to be with you today. I am Alan Reynolds, the editor of Urban Faith, and I had the opportunity to interview Michael B. Jordan and Jonathan Majors about their new movie, Creed III, in theaters everywhere March 3rd. It is a story of victory and defeat and triumph and joy and loss. And I left the theater feeling proud as a Black man in America, and I know that so many of you all will enjoy it, will be inspired by it, will be entertained by it, and I'm glad to share this interview with you all. This is an Urban Faith exclusive. First, thank you all so much for sharing. I mean, this movie, it was phenomenal. I was really glad to be able to see it yesterday. And so one of the things I thought it did so well was to give space and allow for complexity in emotion and aspiration for Black people, but especially for Black men. Why was that important for you guys to show all that joy? There was loss, there was sorrow, there was pride, and you were able to capture so much of that. Why was that important for you guys?
I think because the narrative's often been, you know, one note for a long time, you know, and through cinema and a project like this that's going to get so many eyes, so many different, you know, point of views, to show those layers and complexities that is us, you know, that is, you know, Black men, you know, men in general, you know, but specifically our stories, you know, we wanted to give it the respect and, you know, the honesty, you know, of what it's like, because we all know a Damien, we all know, you know, an Adonis, you know, at some point, at some level,
right?
And being able to represent those stories in a truthful way was really important to see.
And I do appreciate that. The thing that stuck out to me as well was that you had all these different relationships. You had mentor-mentee, friendships, Black marriage, you know, fatherhood, you know, being a child of an aging parent. All that is so much a part of our story. Mm-hmm. What was it like to inhabit all those different roles? And of course, the rivalry, right? What was it like for you all to do that?
It felt freeing. Honestly, for me, you know, as a filmmaker, you know, it's now a real storyteller, you know, and you know, in a real way, being able to talk about and show the things that I've experienced that affect me in my life, you know, that I know other people have those type of relationships also.
Yep.
You know, I think it felt great to, you know, do work that felt completely honest and real and grounded. You know, we do projects, different movies for different reasons and different things, and all of it may not feel personal. You try to bring a little bit of yourself to these roles and, you know, what you can bring to the table to really blur those lines. But when it's really like stacked up against each other in certain areas, it feels good. It felt good.
Mm. You have any thoughts on that? Just, I mean, you were able to play those relationships and yours had the complexity with Creed as Damien.
I think my mission was a little different, you know, as I had to, it's really an examination of brotherhood and what your brother looks like to you, you know, as they come in, as you meet. You know, at one point, he's my younger brother. At one point, he's my best friend. At one point, he's my ally.
Yeah.
At one point, he's my nemesis.
Yeah.
At one point, he's, you know, my motivation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The magnitude that one relationship can hold, you know. I don't do, if I grab my homework, I can tell you the relationship between Damien and Bianca. But the primary attachment to the film, Damien, is Adonis.
Yeah.
I think, you know, my mission and my objective was to show the complexity of brotherhood and that one man, you know, within this one partnership, there's all these different facets. It's not just best friend.
Yeah.
It's not just brothers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's student teacher. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's a beggar rich man.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's prisoner free man. You know, sometimes it's slave master within the brothers. Mm. You know what I mean? House cat. House cat.
Yeah. I get you.
That was actually my main work. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a coyote. You know what I mean? He's just purebred pup. You know what I mean? How do these guys get on? We're both dogs, yeah.
Man.
We're both men. We're both these gladiators. We're both these, but there are these differences. There's a difference in establishing relationships. So, yeah.
I think that you guys left so much room, again, just to see a movie like this with a majority Black cast, Black director. I think you're carrying on a legacy of Oscar Michaud, of Spike Lee's, of these Black directors, right? And you're carrying on for these Black actors, you know, the Sidney Poitiers, the Denzel Washingtons. Felicia Rashad was in this movie. I mean, it's incredible. What is it like for you all to be carrying on a legacy of Black art and Black film from an actor's and director's perspective now?
It feels good,
you know, like we're honoring their path and you know, the race that they've been running, you know, and how it's our, you know, responsibility as filmmakers, you know, and the platform that we have and the opportunities that we're given because of their hard work, you know, to continue that work. You know, to continue those studies, continue those ideas. So, you know, without Sidney and Denzel and Harry Belafonte, you know, and all the work that they've been doing and have done, you know, we couldn't have been given this opportunity to run like the way we are.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to, you know, get every drop of, you know, juice out of the lemon, you know what I'm saying, as much as we can and be truthful and honest. And yeah, man, working with Felicia's, yeah, it's fantastic. You know what I mean? Like, it's amazing. You know, yeah. You know, yes, ma'am, anything queen, whatever you want to do.
Right.
You do not
right.
have to say that. No, you do not have to do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? So it's just honoring that. It's surreal sometimes, honestly, for me. It feels larger than life. You know, I'm not really a guy to stop and like smell the flowers often. You know, I'm kind of like, what's next? What's next? But when I hear somebody say that and break it down that way, it's kind of, it always kind of hits me like, wow, okay, we're doing that. And it feels good.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the aforementioned artists that Mike named, but it's also, you know, Ella Fitzgerald and Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
And Sam Cooke. And, you know, we may not want to accept it. Or we may see, I know Mike's about to get on a walk of fame and host the whole thing. And we were talking, that means something. You know what I mean? That means something because you transcended whatever an actor is. You transcended whatever a director is. You're a part of, you know, popular culture, you know, and that may be a bad word, but popular culture is the culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when you begin to move at that level, right, when you begin to join, which Mike it has done and is continuing to do, the pantheon of these legends, right? Yeah. Not only are we, do we feel motivated to continue, but to grow it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, respectfully, we know things that Denzel and Sidney and Harry were learning.
Yeah.
We grew up knowing those things,
yeah.
Right? It is our job to push it forward, you know? I think what is happening now is there's a clear establishment of the new vanguard.
Mm.
And that's us. You know what I mean? That it's whether we want it or not, it's us. And we have contemporaries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have athletes that have joined us in the fray. You know, but it's about moving the entire culture forward. You know, pop culture, a huge part of pop culture is Black culture.
Yeah.
You know, and the more we mature, the more sophisticated we become, the more intelligent our conversations, the more in depth our conversations become, the more complex they become, the more we are adding to our culture and the richness of our culture, but also moving everything forward.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like regardless of people's background, they can relate to how community and lack thereof has shaped these two characters. And I thought that was a huge piece of this. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of having people in your corner, so to speak, and how that shapes and allows you to develop and allow these characters to develop? Why is that important? Because I thought you showed it well.
I obviously, this is quite brief. Damien and Adonis is a brief examination of nature versus nurture.
Mm.
Right? Period. You got these two guys who are so similar, right, by nature, but how they're nurtured, being nurtured as an incarcerated man, black man, you know what I mean, or being nurtured as, you know, something with promise, you know, and I won't speak on it now, something not being nurtured the same way. That's his business. You know what I mean? That's a huge conversation. You know what I mean? What happens when you have a family? What happens when you have a strong partner?
Yeah.
A strong black partner? You know, what happens when you're raising up? You know, what happens to you that, again, it's his business, but what happens when, you know, you're stuck over here now? What happens when you're stuck in this place where everyone's telling you you ain't worth nothing? First they take your name.
Yeah, you know, and a number.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Steve. Yeah. I mean, that's it. You know, I think, you know, we wanted to explore those things, you know, and you know, these heroic, larger, you know, than life, but very much so grounded characters. Mm-hmm. So people could have that thought to think about those things, and have more empathy. I think the movies, you try to build empathy. You know, not for you know, when you come across a Damien or a Dennis or, you know, or a Feli Chavez or your Bianca or Marianne or, you know, or even, you know, Amara.
Yeah.
That you can understand a bit more instead of pointing at the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, standing over here and pointing at the thing and talking to the thing, talking at the thing, I think is different, you know, than having some empathy. And I think that's something.
I just want to highlight something you pointed out, that Amara is there. And mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of times the deaf community that have different abilities gets overlooked. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Creed as a saga has done a really good job of trying to press into that. Why did you decide to keep that going?
I thought it was a natural evolution. You know, I think, you know, you said like it's a natural progression within the franchise. I think the first one, you know, Adonis, you know, meets this woman, he falls in love with her, you know what I mean, who has progressive hearing loss, not really known in the future. These two professionals, an artist, you know, a professional own right, own agency that has, you know, that has nothing to do with Adonis, you know, and how they compromise over the years and grow together and choose to have a child together.
Yeah.
And the concerns around whether or not that child would be able to hear or not, you know, was a real concern. And how would Adonis treat this daughter? You know, how would he feel if she could and if she could not? These are all real things that I think parents go through, having a healthy baby.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? And then we jump years later. We don't have to address it. Yeah. Because we already addressed the beginning stages of that conversation. And now all we have to do is let this ASL family live and exist.
Yes.
And I just wanted them to exist without pointing at it, without looking to it, you know what I'm saying? Regular little girl that has regular little girl emotions.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little not irregular when it comes to, you know, Adonis, because his dad is a fighter, you know what I'm saying? So he has a little bit of that, but she has a lot of her mother and also in how they parent and their point of views and perspectives and the conversation that you have and that you don't have, how does that affect the child? And I think that's something that I thought was really important to show within the family dynamic. And I'm really blessed with the tools and the material that we've kind of slowly grew over the years that gave me the platform 8 years later to tell this story in a way that felt really earnest and true.
Yeah. Just pulling back a little bit, you all have both just succeeded so much. You're two of the greatest black actors in this moment, the greatest actors of our generation, if I may say so. And I know that a huge part of that has been growth, and also my audience is interested in faith. I know that's been huge in Jonathan's journey. Can you talk a little bit about what faith has meant to you all as artists and even, you know, as you continue to climb these ladders and open new pathways?
Well, I think faith, you know, for me is strong. You know, I think we're in an industry where, you know, you got to have a lot of it, you know, to, you know, you're one of many. Mm-hmm. And a lot of no's, a lot of rejection, a lot of obstacles that are in your way. For you to see a vision of yourself, of what success looks like to you, you gotta have faith in yourself. You have faith in something bigger than you, you know. I think, you know, meditation, spirituality, you know what I'm saying? And you know, for me, silence, you know what I'm saying? And what that brings, those thoughts that, you know, that come to you, I think it's extremely important. But also faith in, you know, evolving things. You you know, I think there's a way of in this industry there's a lot of roadblocks that can get in your way that represent life. You know what I'm saying? As you travel through life, there's a lot of different roadblocks that's always going to come, you know, in your way. And being the main character of your own movie, yeah. You know what I'm saying? As being the hero of your own story, yeah. You got to have that faith, you know what I'm saying, in order to kind of achieve and reach the mountaintop, you know, so to speak. So that's something that sticks with me. And yeah, I don't know, let's speak for you, but you know, I know we have strong faith in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, for me, everything Michael said, the prayer. I mean, I don't mind using scary words. I pray all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and in all the chaos, you know, I listen to that. You know, this tiny, small little voice. You know, that's what always guided me. Mm. You know, and the building of faith. You know, stepping out on faith. I mean, this whole thing is stepping out of faith. I hadn't read the script.
Mm.
You know what I mean? This idea of the discernment, you know, when I looked at Michael and I spoke to Michael on the phone, that's what was happening in those 30 minutes, you know. Mm. There's a Hollywood version where I go, oh, no, I just knew.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew. I was told,
mm.
You know, and I went with that, you know what I mean? As I've done my entire life, you know. I've met Michael's mother, you know. I met his father, you know. We come from praying folks.
Mm,
you know?
Yeah.
And we've all been prayed on, you know, our entire lives. And the building of the faith, even having a conversation with you right now, you being asked about it, it's probably good timing,
mm.
You know, as we're both a little tired. We're both, mm. You know, we're running, you mm-hmm. know. I'm not going to preach, but
yeah.
I'm one of those. You know, I have no doubt where my strength comes from. You know, and I've got a lot of it.
Yes.
And all of it comes from you know, him.
Yes. Yeah. I appreciate that. Last question for you all. Again, my audience is young people, young adults. I work with high school actors and
theater. Well, you look like you're in high school.
I know, right? You know, all the time. But what advice would you give to those young folks, young artists who are trying to be successful, trying to find their voice? I like to say all the time, in a culture that wants to silence them, what advice would you give to the next generation?
Mm.
Be relentless. I always say be relentless. You know, find something you care about that you obsess over and just go for it. You know, there's going to be a lot of no's, a lot of resistance. But try not to be distracted. It's a lot of distractions. That's all around you in a lot of different forms. You know what I'm saying? Of that little box right there in front of you. You know what I'm saying? That we're all guilty of a certain way, shape, or form sometime. You know, but I think just as young people who grew up with that as the norm. You know what I'm saying? I grew up with dial-up modems. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. You know what I mean?
Right.
Printing out directions on MapQuest.
Man,
you know what I'm saying?
That's
my generation. But a lot of these kids, that's their truth, that's their norm. So there's a lot of distractions nowadays. So just being able to put that thing down, you know, for a minute and be to your own thoughts, you know what I'm saying? And focus and have the work ethic and not think everything's so instant and immediate, because a lot of things they feel like it's right now, and it's not, you know what I'm saying? Even these are products of like years and years and years of work, dedication, knows discipline, and I think you know, I would always preach to, you know, to the next generation, to these young kids, that you know, just find that work ethic, because there's something that nobody can take away from hard work.
Mm.
You know, you put the time in, it can't take that away from you. You know, whether that's knowledge, whether that's reading, whether that's just mastering a craft, to 10,000 hours, that is legit.
Mm.
And I think I would say that something like that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I'm in it now. I would pray for purpose. I would pray for that anointing. You know, and once you know what your anointing is, that's it. You know what I mean? A lot of times, you're just going after the wrong thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The work ethic. A lot of folks think, you know, me and Mike have dogged work ethic. That's not true. But I think something that me and Mike also have in common is that we know what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And we gain a great deal of pleasure. It's our anointing.
Yeah.
We not Michael B. Jordan, because his name is Michael B. Jordan. Michael Jordan, someone said, hey, someone's put in him. Someone's put in me, you know, and when we align with that, when we begin to walk our path, you know what I mean? That's the thing. There's still no's, there's still impossibilities. But there's God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're there. Yeah. So it's all good. You know, yeah. It's all good. You know, that's what I would say. Then, yeah, all the grit, all that, yeah, absolutely. But a lot of times, you're actually just going after the wrong thing. You know, I would also say to the young folks, you don't need your phone yet. You know what I mean? Grown ups need the phone.
Yeah.
Right? That we actually communicate through this. We actually have businesses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I don't use the stuff like that. But I do understand my colleagues are like, yeah, you in the game now. You in the matrix. There's no getting out of it. But for the young folks, I say, oh, you can keep it so simple. And it can always be simple unless you complicate it.
Yeah.
The second you begin to work through that thing, right, then you gotta work for it. You know what I mean? But if you can abstain for as long as you can, you know, it'll let you know when you need to.
Yeah.
Instagram, Facebook, chat, tweet. But if they just pay attention a little longer, Twitter's not gonna last long.
Yeah.
Or they'll change or evolve. We grew up with Facebook.
Right.
Okay. We grew up with MySpace.
Yeah. I was there.
Black man.
you know, it's times ever flow, you know.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for the time.